thought, you know, I can just come to Australia unvaccinated and not having to follow the protocols that they gave me, which is just, it takes a lot of daring to do, I think, and putting a Grand Slam kind of at risk. Seems like not everyone is playing kind of by the rules of how Tennis Australia or some governments have been putting things.
That's Stefanos Tsitsipas having his say on Novak Djokovic. Everyone's having their say, Macca. Now it's at the point where even the players on the tour are voicing their displeasure, and it's not just Rafa.
No, it's not. And that's interesting, isn't it? And interesting to find out from Craig Gaber. But even the tennis, the Media Association have put out a statement saying it was deeply concerning that Novak, after testing positive, thought that he needed to do a commitment with the French newspaper as well. So
Craig Gabriel joins us on the Summer Breakfast Club. Craig, thanks for your time. How is Novak's brand within the tennis community at the moment? Is he even less popular than perhaps he already was?
You know how silver can go a really dark colour when it's been exposed to a lot?
Yep.
Well, he's lost his glint of things like silver and gold. Yeah, this is a black mark. This is going to be with him as a negative on his career, irrespective of all that he might has achieved and what he still might achieve in the future. This is going to be that black mark, and it's also going to be emphasized when Netflix finally do produce this documentary that they've started trying to put together.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that Netflix are getting involved. This is a mess of monumental proportions really now, isn't it, Craig? If you had to look at levels of culpability, obviously Novak's at the top there, but where do you think the blame lies for the situation that we have right now?
I really think it comes down to the confusion between the governments and the contradictions which we've been going through for the last couple of years over here. One government will say one thing and then another one will counteract that and come up with something else. And the rules and regulations and guidelines change too frequently. And that adds to the whole confusion of the whole thing. Tennis Australia was the messenger. So they can't make those sort of rules. That's government policy. So they're passing on the information, and it changes so often and so frequently that it's so hard to keep up.
Yeah, it sure is.
Craig, let's play out the scenario that Novak Djokovic is allowed to stay, which is looking the less likely of the two right now. But let's say that he is. What does preparation look like for him? He's clearly the best player in the men's side of the draw, but will this be too disruptive for him to win the tournament?
You know what? He is incredibly mentally strong and can be very thick-skinned. So I think it's still going to have an impact. I mean, you can't be that thick-skinned. I mean, you've got to have feelings. He's admitted in the past that he feels it when crowds go against him on occasions. He understands it. Well, not so much understands, but feels it when there is way more adoration for Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal compared to him. So he just goes about on court doing whatever he has to get those records and results. But technically, physically, no issue whatsoever. Mm. After a while, you've got to think, even somebody like Novak, it's going to have some sort of an impact. And if the crowds start, you know, being negative when he walks on court and plays a match, then, it's going to be hard to concentrate, because then you'll also probably have the Serbian supporters counteracting the rest of the crowd. So it's going to be such a messy situation. And for a player to try and work through that is not easy at all.
No, Craig, we had the crowds sliced in half, 50%. What sort of financial impact is that going to have on an event that's already strapped in terms of its finances over the past couple of years?
Yeah, look, it's not going to be easy, because this really was... I feel sad for Tennis Australia for all the efforts that they have put in to stage these tournaments last year, and in the middle of the event you have a lockdown, and this year again it has to have an impact. I mean, it's common knowledge that they had to dip into reserves last year to put all those tournaments on to be able to give the players jobs. You know, it's the only major out of the four that has been consistent. Wimbledon didn't play last 2020, if you remember. The U.S. Open got shifted and messed around, totally blocked out for anybody. The French Open moved and also was a closed event. So the Australian Open and the job that Tennis Australia has done over the last couple of years has been remarkable. And this should have been a year when they would have been able to reap some of the expenses that they've had to incur. But you know, now, as we know, it's a 50% attendance, and that's not going to be helpful. I mean, it'll help to some degree, but not as would have been expected.
Craig, the draw came out yesterday. How does it look for Ash Barty to your mind? It looks like Naomi Osaka, all things being equal, in the fourth round. Yeah. But other than that?
Yeah, look, tough. You know, you've got, in that whole area, you've got Belinda Bencic, the Olympic gold medalist, Naomi Osaka, the defending champion. You know, a little further down, Ons Jabeur, who's top 10. Maria Sakkari, who's had a great year and is top 10. Victoria Azarenka, who's won it a couple of times. Paula Badosa, who's on a roll. You know, so there are a lot of dangerous players in Ash's path before, you know, hopefully she's able to hold the trophy, the Daphne Akhurst Cup. But she's somebody who can be able to ride all that and do it.
Craig, how pleased are you for Tanasi Kokkinakis? Oh, it's just thrilled. A great story. And all the negatives we've had, it's just a great story, isn't it?
Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. He is such a good guy. He's such a great sense of humor. He's so down to earth. I love the guy. I mean, he's just the best. And I'm thrilled for him because I've seen him on the tour year after year, or when he's not on the tour because of injuries and surgeries. And he works so hard and he puts his heart into it all. And then suddenly there's another breakdown. I said to him the other day, I said, what have you been doing? I said, because I saw him on a monitor practicing without a shirt. And all. I said, see, you know, you are looking like a specimen, which he had a bit of a laugh at. And he said, oh, thanks for that. But he says, you know, while I might look good, it's still an effort. But hopefully, fingers crossed, he hasn't got an easy draw at the Australian Open by any means. Got a qualifier first, but more than likely second round, Rafa Nadal.
Without making any light of it, Bernard Tomic has joined Nick Kyrgios in the COVID situation of the fact that he was saying on court that he had symptoms and that he didn't go off. Is that something that you think Tennis Australia or the Australian Open officials need to sort of ram home to all the competitors? If you've got symptoms, don't be playing.
Yeah, but they have been. I mean, they've been going on about this. You've got the rapid tests are over there to get them started. Everybody's got to do a rapid test every single day that's connected and working at the tournament. And, you know, Bernie's his own worst enemy, and he carries on like a pork chop about all this sort of stuff. And, you know, if he's feeling sick and he's not feeling well and all that, well, take some action on it, you know, and don't start blaming everybody else.
Yep.
He's never taken responsibility. And, you know, then we hear him saying, oh, I'm a new Bernie Tomic and all that. But, you know, somebody said to me, maybe the white hair dye has trickled into his eyes sometimes.
That would explain a lot, I think. That would explain a hell of a lot. But he's been like that for a long time. Craig, thanks so much for joining us. No doubt, Half and Whitey, who are back on Monday, I'll talk to you over the next couple of weeks. But appreciate your time over the summer period with us.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.